China's ambassador to Australia says we owe much of our economic prosperity to Beijing. Ambassador Chung Ying-ji has told the Australian newspaper that the federal budget's back in surplus thanks to China's hunger for Australian iron ore. Western Australia's Treasurer Ben Wyatt agrees, and he's telling his federal counterparts to dial down their rhetoric on China. Ben Wyatt, thanks for joining us on RN Drive.
My pleasure.
What did you make of the big show of strength in China today at their 70-year celebration?
Well, not surprised. The country, China as a country, has obviously a lot to celebrate and a lot to be proud of over how they've developed over the last 70 years and clearly want the world to know about that pride.
In the US last week, you had Scott Morrison saying that China is now a developed economy. Do you agree with him on that?
Look, the thing around the nature of our trading relationship, and I actually don't object to the Prime Minister having views around the rules upon which we trade with China and other nations. I suspect, though, my advice to the Prime Minister would be raising that in such a public environment whilst in the United States was perhaps unhelpful, and I think the reaction that we've seen from China as a result is unsurprising. This is, I think, a legitimate line of inquiry for the Prime Minister, but I think it's best served going through the usual diplomatic channels at this point rather than at the end of or halfway through a very high-profile visit to the United States. Flagging that in a very public speech, I think, was probably unhelpful.
So do you think he made a mistake in saying that in that context, and could that hurt WA's economy?
Well, we need to also always understand the context in which we operate. I know the Prime Minister certainly does. So he, I suspect, was very deliberate in raising that in a public environment. One thing I've learnt and through my regular travels to China is a lot of value is placed in relationships and being honest and frank and open, but usually in a way that involves that mutual respect that we hear the Chinese talk about and they actually mean. I think it was, in the views of the Chinese, perhaps disrespectful for the Prime Minister to do so in such a public environment whilst in the United States. As I say, though, the line of inquiry the Prime Minister is pursuing is a legitimate one, but we do have processes in place to ensure that we do that in a way that the Chinese also can engage with Australia and the rest of the world around those. At the moment, we are seeing from Western Australia's perspective our trade relationship continuing to be very healthy, in not just in iron ore, but across the spectrum of different exports to China. But we also understand in Western Australia that that also requires a sophisticated relationship, and that's the point that both the Premier of WA, Mark McGowan, and I have been making to the Commonwealth Government, is that you can't continue to have a dialogue with another country primarily through the media in a form that is, to be honest, in a form that is really rabble-rousing. I think it's a much more sophisticated way to go about managing that relationship.
So you've asked them to take a step back. What are you most worried about?
What I'm worried about is the capacity of this argument, and I think we have seen this both in respect of some of the comments made by a federal member of parliament over in the West, Andrew Hastie, and in respect to some of the conversations on the East Coast. The conversation can very rapidly become one around race or the source of country as opposed to one around how trade should take place. Now, China and Chinese citizens have been coming to Western Australia and broadly Australia for a long period of time. For example, in Western Australia, since 2005, the majority or the highest number of students coming to study and live in Western Australia have come from China. So we do have a deep personal relationship amongst our citizens with China, whether we realise that or not. So I think having these conversations take place in a form of domestic rabble-rousing, as we've seen from Andrew Hastie and some others, I think disrespects the relationship and therefore puts at threat the ongoing economic growth and standard of living that Australians have come to enjoy.
So I imagine you're talking about Andrew Hastie's comparisons between China and Nazi Germany?
Correct. I think Andrew Hastie should know better. He's a smart man with an experienced background, and also his role in the Parliament of Australia highlights the fact he has access to information not many Australians get to see. So he also has a responsibility to be delicate in his language, because one thing I know is that you've got in Western Australia about a quarter of our entire economy is dependent upon our trade with China. That means Mr. Hastie's own constituents have a real economic interest in that relationship. So what those who occupy those positions, like Mr. Hastie, do need to be very careful with the way they go about using their rhetoric. And
what about your side of politics, your Labor colleagues? What about their attacks on Gladys Liu?
Well, I've made comments around that as well in the past, and that's been, I think, the broader conversation around Gladys Liu has been unhelpful. I think if Ms. Liu has issues to answer, they can certainly be dealt with in the Parliament, but I think bringing that into a broader loyalty to the country or the role of China is unhelpful. And I've made the point, this is a message I'm sending and the Premier of WA is sending to all federal MPs, that it's not just Western Australia that has an economic and social interest in our relationship with China, it's every single Australian.
But there are legitimate concerns. I mean, you might not like Andrew Hastie's language, but he's raising national security concerns, which we need to be cognizant of. And then you look at other issues like human rights issues. We've seen recent reporting on the way the Uyghur Muslim minority are being treated in Xinjiang. There are legitimate concerns to be putting to China.
There certainly are, and whether they be issues around the South China Sea, human rights, national security, I would expect our Commonwealth government to pursue those robustly, but I'd also expect them to pursue them in the way that also is sensitive to our economic interests with China.
Okay, but how sensitive should you be? I mean, should you sort of accept any standard of national security threat or human rights abuse just because you've got massive Chinese export markets?
Well, you know, let's not be flippant with that. I think the Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister, Defence Ministers, etc., have the capacity through their relationships and the institutional diplomatic architecture to raise these issues. What I don't think is helpful, as has been pointed out, comparing China with Nazi Germany, I think that is a way of simply bedding down hostility and tension as opposed to actually having a relationship and where you can raise these issues and actually perhaps have a receptive China as opposed to one that is hostile and belligerent.
Okay, the Chinese ambassador to Australia, Chung Yin-ji, has said our prosperity is thanks to China. What did you make of what he had to say?
Yeah, look, I read closely what Ambassador Chung had to say in today's media, and there's where he's quite correct is that Australia has been huge beneficiaries over the last 20 years of China's economic growth. There's no doubt about that. We are also key partners in that growth, of course, because China requires a lot of what we are selling to it, whether it be iron ore, LNG, or lithium, or coal. There is a large interdependent relationship. So we also don't need to be meek and mild from Australia. We understand that it is a partnership of where we both have commercial interests in each other, as well as I said, those deep social and citizen relationships that we've had for a long period of time. I think the ambassador is making the point that we need to understand as a nation exactly how dependent we are on that Chinese trade relationship.
But is he using that to try and stop us from speaking out on other issues?
I suspect not. I think ambassadors tend to be fairly more sophisticated than that, and he'll know that Prime Ministers of Australia or Ministers of Australia will continue to speak out on issues. But I think occasionally you do get, in the current environment in particular, after a very high profile and successful visit by the Prime Minister to the United States, perhaps the ambassador reminding us all that China is not just a passive participant in our commercial relationship.
And in a way, you're agreeing with him. You're pushing the same message, aren't you? You're telling your federal colleagues to kind of back off here, which might be what he's implying by stating the fact of just how strong our economic dependence on China is.
No, I'd never say to the Commonwealth Government of Australia, regardless of their political stripe, they should back off, but I'd say they should use the well-worn institutions that we have in international diplomacy to raise these issues.
But you told them to take a step back. I mean, that's very similar to back off.
Well, that was in respect of the comments around Gladys Liu. Respect, that wasn't in respect around issues that we need to raise with China on national security grounds. As I said, I'd expect the Commonwealth to raise those robustly, but also do them in the way that they raise with other countries as opposed through the Globe's media.
Ben Wyatt, fascinating to speak to you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Ben Wyatt, the Treasurer of Western Australia.